Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Talking Horses. This week, we take you to Asia Horse Week in Hong Kong, a two-day rendezvous of global leaders in horse sport, held in conjunction with one of the biggest show jumping shows in the world, the Longines Masters of Hong Kong. Equestrianism is booming in Asia, especially mainland China. There are now more than 400,000 people riding there and more than 1,800 equestrian clubs. And that number is growing by the minute. 17 major events are now staged each year throughout the region. And in Hong Kong alone, there has been a 134% increase in the number of FEI registered horses. As the FEI Secretary General Sabrina Ibanez summed up, there's clearly a buzz here in Asia, and we are here to ensure it is well managed and enhanced. And this growth all has a big flow-on effect to Australia, currently the second biggest exporter of horses in the world to China. Horse welfare was also a huge theme throughout the 2 days. And interestingly, the current issue in Australian racing involving Darren Weir made for discussion in a presentation by the CEO of World Horse Welfare, Rolly Owers. World Horse Welfare is a highly respected campaign organisation for proper equine use that has been operating for more than 90 years. I caught up with Rolly soon after his presentation to discuss this very important topic of horse welfare. Rolly, never before has horse welfare been such a significant focus for equestrian sport and the thoroughbred and other racing industries globally. What's your current position on it all?
Well, equine welfare needs to be at the heart of wherever we use horses. And of course, we use horses in so many different ways in the 21st century, as animals for leisure, as farm animals, as working animals, as animals for therapy. But of course, the most high profile is horse sport and using them in equestrian sport. And because that is done for people's enjoyment, it places an ever greater responsibility on us to look after the animals that we're competing to the best of our abilities.
So what essentially is the function of World Horse Welfare and the role that you play?
So we are a campaigning organisation, and so we will campaign for proper equine use around the world in all its different forms. We seek to educate. The biggest reason for equine negligence and abuse around the world is because of ignorance. And so it's so important, both in the developed world of equestrian nations of the UK and Europe and the US, but also the developing nations. And of course, across Asia, you know, that is happening so quickly. It's so important that education is at the heart of that, but also we provide hands-on care both in the UK and in lower middle income countries, where we're actually supporting equines on the ground.
How do you rate current public perception of horse sport based on some of the more recent welfare issues we've faced in all parts of the sport?
I think it's tricky because too often the public only hear about equine welfare in a negative context, whether it be Duncan Weir being banned for 4 years for having sort of electrical training aids, whether it be overuse of the whip in eventing, or whether it be equine fatalities or equine injuries. So what the sport needs to do is to try and get more on the front foot, try and do more to explain to the general public and build that trust that actually a lot is being done to protect equine health and welfare in horse sport. But that is a constant task and challenge, because otherwise equine welfare will always be seen in that negative context, and that's very damaging to equine sport.
From an Australian racing perspective, it was hugely concerning but not entirely surprising that you did reference the Darren Weir case in your address today. That has had a huge effect on perception right across the world, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And because someone who is at the top of their sport is being seen to cheat, but not only be seen to cheat, but also to abuse equines and horse welfare in the way that he did. So, but I'm a firm believer in every cloud has a silver lining. And just like when we have big disease outbreaks, it's a wake-up call to responsible biosecurity. This incident is a wake-up call to the importance of placing equine welfare at the heart of what we're doing. And it cannot, equine sport and equine and horse racing can never be a win at all cost mentality, because if that comes the case, then there will be no future for horse sport.
How do you continue to effectively agitate for positive change and better focus on the management and welfare of horses in particular?
At the heart, it's about education, because especially in regions of the world like here, where more and more people, but also in Europe and in the US, around the world and in Australia, new people are coming into the sport all the time. So it's so important to place education at the heart and to make sure that riders, trainers, but also stewards and judges, because one of the key issues in agitating for change within horse sport is to make sure that the rules are updated, but also that they're properly enforced, and there must be robust sanctions for any abuse of equine welfare. And there have been cases where sanctions haven't been appropriate or haven't been done quick enough, and that's why we would applaud the Australian racing authorities for the robust and quick action they took in this case.
That's exactly right. So where to from here, do you think, for the Australian racing industry and firstly addressing that type of behaviour in the ranks, the participants of the racing industry, but beyond that, long term, what's the solution to fixing the downward slide of negative public perception?
So it's twofold. It's one about going with the times, and as we increasingly understand more about equine welfare, we understand more and more about horse behaviour, about how horses learn. Obviously the world of veterinary medicine grows all the time, so it's about doing the right things by our horses, by updating how we do things, constantly challenging how we train our horses, how we manage our horses. But it's also then that piece about building trust with the general public, getting them to understand that we're doing the right thing. Because as I so often say, we might be doing the right things by our horses in the way we manage them, but if the general public think we're doing it the wrong way, then you're in an equally difficult position. So it's two-way. It's about doing the right thing with our horses, but also showing people very clearly that we are doing that too.
And the general public are keeping the world a far more honest place generally these days than ever before, namely because of social media, and that's been a powerful tool to communicate some of the issues at the heart of welfare in anything to do with equestrian or horse racing.
Absolutely. I mean, social media is very much a twin-edged sword, because as you rightly say, it has been such a power for good, but also it has been a power for bad in sort of very vindictive campaigns against individuals who sometimes it's not justified. So it's a matter of getting that perspective as ever. And a good example is still photographs. You know, you can take a still photograph of a horse, which would appear to show hyperflexion is one example, a horse in pain, but it's very difficult to actually understand what that horse is going through in that one particular moment. So getting perspective with social media can be a challenge, but in terms of education, for example, the digital world has just transformed the way we can get educational messages out. So it's definitely better, but far more positive than negative, but sometimes it does come with its challenges too.
Molly, thanks for sharing your insights with us and for your contribution to the betterment of equine welfare around the world.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here, and really enjoyed chatting away.